There she is. Hello, makers. Welcome to Our Studio, a brand new branch of the Making Conversation podcast, where we chat all about making, the app and the act. I'm Jen, head of marketing here at Making. I have a very special guest here with me today who is going to be co-hosting Making Conversation, Our Studio, more often. And I am literally so excited. Marina has worked with us here and has also been a huge supporter, but most importantly, an amazing friend. Hi, Marina.
Hi. Hello.
So glad you're here. Tell everyone about yourself.
My name is Marina and my pronouns are she, her. My Making username is HeartBunKnit. My child used to call me HeartBuns when they were little. And so I just turned that into my knitting name. I live in Connecticut and I have been crafting for over 20 years. I was going in Target one day and they had all kinds of knitting supplies for a dollar. I didn't know how to knit. I bought them and taught myself how to knit. I've been crafty all my life, but I've been a serious knitter for about 20, 21 years now. I like to make easy things. I don't know about you, but I like to do other stuff while I'm knitting. So I like things that are not too complicated, which turns into a lot of shawls, a lot of cowls, a lot of hats. I am not a sock person. I just can't get into the double pointed needles are just not my friend. I like sweaters, but I have a lot of short sleeve sweaters because I also don't have the patience for actual long sleeves.
Sleeve Island is very real.
It's a real thing and it's rough. Or I'll get one sleeve done or it's too long or it's too short. And I'm one of those people where I like to like craft and keep going. But if I make a mistake, I'm not into fixing it. So sleeves tend to mess that up. So everything is short sleeve. And what do? When I'm not crafting, I'm a mom and I'm an occupational therapist. And so I'm usually busy running around after my child or going to work. I like watching Netflix. And by that time, 9 o'clock is hit. And when you're my age, that's time for bed. So that's about all that's left of my day.
So what are you watching right now that you're really excited about? I love talking about what we're watching and making.
Okay, so I am watching Madam Secretary, which I think came on in like 2015, 16-ish. I like to rewatch shows that I really enjoyed, and it's about the Secretary of State and like all of the things that she does. It's like drama. I've seen it a bazillion times, but I just started all over from the beginning and watch it again. And I'm watching a show called Ghosts, which is on CBS, I believe. And it's like about these two people that rent out this old house to turn into an inn, and they find out that they have ghosts in there, and the woman can see the ghosts and the husband cannot see the ghosts. And so it's like their like interaction with the ghosts that have lived there because they can't leave. They're like stuck there. So it's very funny if you need a good laugh.
Now, you talk about this show Ghosts. Are you at all into the paranormal and watching any ghost hunting shows, or is it just this one's cute and funny and that's what we watch?
Oh yeah, I'm into cute and funny ghosts. I'm not into like serious paranormal or ghosts because I have to sleep at night and then I have to find somebody who will stay awake with me because I'm too scared
that's
to sleep.
Fair.
So nothing scary. It's all like humorous and fun.
I was just chatting with our friend Quaylen over email because Quaylen's going to be a podcast guest as well eventually.
Nice.
And we were talking about possibilities of topics and I dropped a few and Quaylen wrote back and said, what if we talk about the intersection of fiber art and the paranormal? The fact that Quaylen said that and I had that thought but didn't put it in the email because, you know, we'd have to like heavily research. I was like, this is meant to be.
I think it would be cool to learn about paranormal and how it intersects with fiber art. I could listen to someone talking about it, but like I couldn't watch anything. If Quaylen and you talk about that, I'm all over it.
So let's dive in because we have some really awesome things to talk about today. We're going to give some love to the amazing Making App community, of course. We'll talk about some yarn bombing that's been in the news, a few special free crochet patterns from the National Park Service, and a bit of history around the NPS, and a few other things. So let's start out with giving some love to the Making App community. Of course, we are making. We have an app. It's funny. I did a survey this week and sent it out to everyone that's on our newsletter list. And we had a few responses of people saying, I didn't know you had an app. And as the head of marketing, it does hurt my heart a little bit. However, We're here to spread the good word. We do have an app. If you go to themakingapp.com, you can download it from there, sign up and join the community. You will not regret it. Everybody in the community is so amazing, very diverse of people and craft, and lots of other features that you can utilize. And we just launched the marketplace. Currently, the marketplace is in beta. So at this moment in time, you can sell your PDF patterns. List services as well. So an example that I usually give with this is if you are a pattern tester and you like to get paid to pattern test, you can list your service there. There's a few other options. If you dive in, some other people have listed services that are actually really smart and I didn't even think of those. And then you can also teach classes. So crafty classes, mindful wellness classes, those types of things.
And I have to say the classes are great because there are like things that I think are cool about crafting, but I wouldn't think to put together necessarily. Like, you know, mindfulness and crafting, it seems like those things go hand in hand, but to just have a class about that or about stretching or body care. The other thing I wanted to say about the app too that I really like is that if you're not on the app, you should join it. But here's why. I think the biggest reason is even though it's social media, it is a break from like the traditional social media. I've taken a break from traditional social media because sometimes it's just too much. But when you're on Making, people are showing what they've made and that's really what they stick to. And so it's very relaxing and calming and it's not triggering or you're not reading some god-awful news story or whatever it is. You just get to see really cool things that other people are making. And it's also very inspiring. It's well worth the like jump in if you are like, oh, I don't want one more thing. Try the Making app because it's not what you would think it was in terms of social media. It's like a nice release from the everyday social media.
I love that. Thank you, Marina. And we totally get that, right? Like we have built a social app. I wish that there was another word for it that we could come up with, right? Yes. Like community app. I don't know, something like that. I work in marketing, so I'm constantly in social media. And there are times where I just need a break. And that's definitely those times I open up that Making app and scroll.
It's peaceful there. That's what I like to say. It's peaceful.
And of course, I think we all have been there where we're like, okay, I'm going to sit down and work on whatever thing I'm working on. And then all of a sudden, an hour later, you're just scrolling. And so we also understand that's not helpful when you're like, I'm going to mindfully sit and knit this sweater. And then you're just staring at your phone. We're here when you need a little bit of a break. We're here when you need inspiration. We're here when you want to look for a new pattern to work on.
Yeah.
I have absolutely loved opening up the marketplace. And while it is definitely growing and we're nowhere near our goal of what we want in the end to have with designers on the marketplace, we're definitely growing. And the coolest thing about it though is you open up the marketplace and there's only a handful of designers that I've seen before.
Yes.
The discoverability of the people who are on there now is so cool.
It feels like people are being given a chance. In life, that's all you need is a chance. And what they are producing is absolutely amazing that I feel like I wouldn't discover anywhere else because the chance isn't given. So I really appreciate that about the app. You have an opportunity and people are using it and using it well.
And as we say every single time, this is just the beginning. We haven't even implemented some of the algorithms. And yes, I know algorithm is a scary word because other apps, they serve you things that you don't want to see. But they really can be used for good. And we haven't even implemented that within the app yet. So that is coming. Hey makers, don't forget, we want to include all y'all in this podcast too. So send in your questions for us, any shout outs you might want to give for the amazing makers in the app, ideas for segments, etc. to hq@makingco.com. Yesterday, I opened up the app and I saw this beautiful jacket. So the maker's name is Pia, and I'm going to completely butcher their handle. So I'm just going to spell it out. VROUWLIJNWONDERLIJK. So I opened up the app, and there is this beautiful coat. And then I realized that it was a cyanotype, and that Pia had created a cyanotype jacket with leaves. So it's blue and then there's like leaves and then you turn it to the back and there are knitting needles and scissors crossing. And it was done with a cyanotype. And my mind was just absolutely blown. It was so beautiful. I highly recommend everybody go find Pia on the app. I'll definitely make sure to tag them at some point in the making app. But yeah, it was just like, wow, it's amazing. It kind of reminds me of my early 20s. I was a little punk, like a crafty version of the big back patches on jean jackets,
yes,
or leather jackets.
Yep, I remember those.
That punks wear. So cool. Yep. Okay. Marina, I feel like we've talked about this since like maybe the moment we met, but I have always wanted to learn how to sew my own clothes. Yep. As a curvy gal that really...
I have long legs, can't find pants that are long enough.
I can't go typically and just buy a size and be like, this will definitely fit. So the bumper jumper in the marketplace by Open Studio Patterns, I just was scrolling and I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like this is my... It's not going to be my first project. Or maybe it will be. Maybe I'll just dive in. It's so cool. And I just love also seeing the growth of more sewists and quilters and even leather workers on the app. Of course, there's going to be a lot of knitting and crochet because Making started as Making Magazine, which was very heavily fiber arts. But we are definitely growing in other places.
Speaking of quilting and leather work, one that I found inspiring this week, her name is Katie. Lolo Cloth and Hide is her handle. And she had posted some quilts that she made, and they're like cream, and then they have like black lines as accents. Each one of them is stunning. I saved her post, but here's the thing, is that I feel like there should be, I need like a separate section on the Making app where it's, can't I just buy this? So that because I'm like, there's no way, I'm not a quilter. I need sometimes people that are making these things and posting them. I need you to just make an extra one so I can buy it from you. Because it was stunning. The quilts that she made were stunning. She does both quilting and leather work, which I thought was really pretty cool. I fell in love with the quilt. I really just was like, oh my gosh, this inspires me. And somebody else said the same thing in the comments. They're like, this inspires me to want to make quilts. And I was like, that's totally it. I do notice that there's a lot of variety on the app, and it inspires you to think, maybe I could make that.
I also want to give one more shout out. Elizabeth, who is Duct Tape Doc, DUCTTAPEDOC. Every time they post something, it is absolutely wonderful. They knit, but they do beautiful embroidery portraits. And there is two that they've posted recently. It is of people's dogs who have passed. And I'm not going to go into that because I'll start crying. Sometimes that comes up on TikTok. Nobody wants that side of TikTok. And I just immediately start bawling. Yes. But I'm looking at it right now and I'm getting a little emotional knowing that these dogs were so well loved and have passed. But they are absolutely stunning. Like, you look at it and you're like, is that a photo? Wait, no, those are stitches. Oh, what is happening? There's a few people on the app that do these portraits. But Elizabeth recently posted this. I was like, in my mind.
I love that idea.
It's so beautiful. All right, I'm going to compose myself. Okay. Let's talk about this yarn bombing that's been in the news.
Let's go for
it. Lots of yarn bombing in the news this week, which is so funny. I just started doing research for this podcast. So I don't know if that's a typical thing or if this has just been a special few weeks. From the BBC, the first one we're going to talk about is the headline, Nursing Staff Yarn Bomb Shawberry overnight. Some colleagues from the River Meadows Nursing Home in Shawberry, Shropshire. I'm surprised I said that right on the first time. And 15 other fiber artists, including some of the home's residents, set out under the cover of night and created a woolly surprise for the center of town. So basically, they covered bike posts, mailboxes, all of that. The organizer was named Marissa Moore. And Marissa said, it cheered everyone up. You go for a loaf of bread and there's a bunny sitting on a bollard smiling at you. I'm not even going to try and do that in an accent because I'm not my forte. But I also had to Google what a bollard was.
I was just about to ask, should I know what a bollard is? Because I don't.
So it's basically just those poles that come up out of the sidewalk to like guide. It's just like a short metal pole.
Okay, but that's what a bollard is. I always wonder about the weather. What happens if it rains? And you like take it off, you take your yarn bomb off and then you put it back on? Or what if it snows? Or what if maybe a dog finds a bollard? What happens if something happens to your yarn bomb? Because I see them outside all the time. And I always think, how do you deal with the weather? I'm sure there's a yarn bombing expert out there that could tell us how you deal with the weather.
The first time I ever saw a yarn bomb was when I first moved here to Seattle. And as we all know, Seattle is not known for the driest of climates. I did watch this particular yarn bomb kind of become sad over time, but it did hold up fairly well for a while. And I wonder if you have to be very intentional with the stitch type and the type of yarn that you pick out. I have a feeling that has something to do with it.
So I think we're going to have to ask our resident expert, Dawn, because do you remember we've been tied to a very special yarn bomb? She did lintel. I wonder what happened to her yarn bomb. Like maybe she could update us on the status.
Gosh, that was now over a year ago, I believe. We had the lintel along where we had a lot of free lintel patterns in the app. I think that those are coming back. They had to be tucked away for a second, but we're going to bring them back.
You got to tell everybody who lintel is first.
Yes, that's what I just realized that maybe people don't know. So lintel is Making's brand mascot, and lintel is a cat. We love lintel. And so we had a lintel along where people could either create from the patterns that were free in the app, or they could do whatever they wanted crafty. And then the community voted on the top lintel. And of course, Dawn created this amazing yarn bomb, and I believe in Oakland, and it was up for quite a while. I also know the Bay Area isn't necessarily the driest place. So this is definitely a question that we need to bring to Dawn and hopefully figure out this yarn bombing mystery. And make sure to go follow Dawn on the Making app. It's at Dawn Catherine.
Yeah, you have to see her lintel yarn bomb. It was very cool. It always brought like a smile to my face.
I remember the first time that I saw it, and I literally messaged Ashley in capital letters, "We have made it. Somebody right. made a giant yarn bomb of lintel."
She definitely deserves that win. We have more yarn bombing to talk about. The next one is about a workshop that took place at the Hayner Public Library. You gotta love libraries, I think. Like libraries do some really cool stuff. Sometimes they think they're, especially now in 2023, sometimes they think they're underrated. But this library was in Alton, Illinois, and they had a yarn bombing workshop where you got to learn how to yarn bomb. And in the workshop, they did things like covering stools that were old and worn out. Because I think that's another piece of yarn bombing is where you can rehab something that might be a little bit old or needs a little bit of TLC. They even put some covers on books. They went a little bit into the history of yarn bombing and, hey, maybe they would know. Maybe they should contact the Hayner Public Library and maybe they'd have an answer about what you do during when the weather is bad.
So finally, this brings us to our third and final yarn bombing. Senator J.D. Vance from Ohio, whom The Atlantic wrote a piece about entitled "The Moral Collapse of J.D. Vance." So let's just say our values are definitely nowhere near aligning. And yeah, J.D. Vance is the opposite of what we believe here at Making. Some fiber artists took to welcoming him with a specific yarn bomb in a suburb outside of Washington, D.C. A report says rainbow knitting now covers a signpost near Vance's house. What I know about J.D. Vance, he is known for a few things, and I'm pretty sure that this is connected to his stance on stating that he's opposed to the gay marriage bill. Now, we definitely need a palate cleanser after talking about J.D. Vance.
I feel like it's a way to get your feelings out. You know what I mean? People like paid attention in the neighborhood and they covered a sign with some rainbow knitting. I love that piece to it because I just think it speaks volumes. I think it's a pretty cool way to protest something.
It's a soft protest.
Yes, and yes.
If the news is reporting about this, this means he definitely saw it and probably knows exactly why it's there.
Exactly. Which is even better.
In case you've gotten this far and you're like, what the heck is yarn bombing, Jen and Marina? What are you talking about? So it's a type of street art that involves covering public objects such as statues, trees, benches, lampposts, etc., with colorful knitted or crocheted yarn. And it emerged in the early 2000s. The history can be traced back to a few different sources, but one of the earliest documented instances of yarn bombing was in 2004 in Houston, Texas, when a group of knitters began covering public objects with quote unquote knitted graffiti. It gained popularity online and soon other knitters around the world began to adopt the practice. Since then, yarn bombing has become a popular form of street art around the world, with artists using it as a way to add color and whimsy to public spaces, as well as make political statements and draw attention to social issues. One example of yarn bombing as craftivism that I found was in 2013 in Dresden, Germany. A person named Christina Kromer, I hope I'm saying that right, and a group of about 60 fiber artists worked for months together to create enough knitting and crochet to cover a military tank. The tank is in front of the military museum in Dresden, Germany, and the goal was to make the tank look more harmless and obviously creating an anti-military statement.
The creativity that people come up with, and then to think about like yarn bombing a tank as an anti-military statement is really cool. I love people that like think that way.
I think that there's a flip side to this where some people say, oh, it's not enough, etc. But I think that there is a place where multiple things can be true at once. You can utilize your vote. You can write to your congresspeople or whatever the equivalency is in other countries outside of the United States. You can protest, volunteer your time, give money to organizations, but also art has always been used as a form of protest or activism. And this is art. So.
Right. Yes. Yeah. One person cannot do all of the things when it comes to any kind of social justice. So I think however you can do it is kudos to you, as opposed to it not being enough or somebody feels like you should be doing something different. I think it's a great thing. I like to see what people are doing too as well, which sort of brings us to our next person. Victoria is a Mexican fiber artist that takes existing well-known photos of famous humans and adds yarn to create her own version of yarn bomb street art. Try saying yarn bomb 10 times fast. You'll have to look her up because her art is beautiful. It's just stunning the way that she combines like the photos with the yarn. Somebody out there like doing really cool stuff. If you are thinking of yarn bombing, then we of course encourage everybody to yarn bomb responsibly and make sure that you're keeping track of your yarn bomb and recycle accordingly.
We also want to think of Mother Earth.
Yes, but if you do yarn bomb, then take a picture of it and post it in the making app.
We want to see all of them. Or if you're walking around, you know, and you see something, definitely post it in the app because we love to see it. Also your dogs. Post your dogs and your cats and your animals.
Yes.
That's another thing that we really enjoy seeing. Yes. Bless our feed with your furry friends. Love it. Let's talk Bright Collective. Bright Collective is our version of a local public radio drive. It's also kind of like when you join your favorite creator's Patreon to support them. We don't have ads in our app. And right now, as of this moment, to be honest, funding in the startup world is weird. So we're bootstrapping, and that includes Bright Collective. If you become a member to Bright Collective, not only are you supporting everything that we're building here at Making the App, this podcast, and more coming soon, but you're also joining a monthly community membership experience where content is delivered to your inbox in the Making App. This includes e-zines that have curated patterns, tutorials, essays, recipes, member discounts. There are special community events and more. Trust me, the recipe of the chickpea salad sandwich from this month is 100% worth it. If you decide that you're all in and you want to go for a yearly membership, it's only $10 a month. If you want to test the waters and dip a toe, you can try our month-to-month for $12. If you're able, please visit makingzine.com to find out more and become a member of Bright Collective. And we'd love it if you'd share about the Making App and Bright Collective to all of your family and friends. Of course, being an artsy, crafty podcast, let's talk about what we're working on right now. What's your whip? Are you cooking? Are you listening to anything or anything while you're making?
So I hate cooking, but I have to say, Bright Collective inspires me to try. It does, especially the last one. I want to try that. Chickpea salad sandwiches. I just need Ashley to come over and make it for me. But since that's not going to happen, I will have to try and make it myself. So my work in progress is I am making a shawl. And I am one of those knitters who, like, if you ask me what I'm working on, I can tell you a shawl, but I cannot tell you the name of the patterns or who wrote the pattern. Like, it just, I look at it and I'm like, ooh, this is pretty. And then it goes right out of my head. I think I'm going to run out of yarn. So I ordered more yarn, which should be here any day, which probably means that since I ordered it and had it shipped, I won't run out of yarn. But if I didn't, then I'd be waiting for it. That's one of the things that I love about the app is that then I can put my projects in and I can remember the name and I can remember the designer. I haven't done it with this shawl yet, but I had a sweater the other day that I wore and I was like, I don't even know where this pattern is. I can't remember what yarn I use, but the Making app has a space for all of that. And so I have been logging my projects. And then when people ask me, what are you working on? I'm like, oh, hold on, let me look. But this one I haven't put in. So right now, it's just a shawl.
I actually had the same thing happen to me the other day. I love TikTok. So I think my two favorite apps right now are the Making app and TikTok. And as a journey of self-love, as I've gained weight over the years, I've been creating these outfit of the day, let's get dressed TikToks. And it's just been fun. It's been fun to think outside of the box from my normal like band t-shirt and jeans and build new things. But I recently wore one of the sweaters that I had knit a few years ago. And somebody asked me what the pattern was in a comment. And I was like, oh no, what is it? And then I was like, right. I know where I can go. I'm going to go to my studio and look at my projects in the Making app. So yeah, it is very helpful when you are not good at remembering things or you just want to track. I have officially departed Sleeve Island, Marina.
Oh, yay! You made it up. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. On Sunday, I sat down. And I said, I have a list of things that I need to do around the house and preparing for some things coming up. But nope, I am going to sit and I'm going to knit until this sleeve is done. And I was up way too late. And the next day I was very tired, but that is okay. We are off Sleeve Island.
Feeling.
We're on to neckband. What are we going to call this? We are visiting neckband aisle at this point.
Okay. Okay.
And
That's I think better than Sleeve Island.
It's a neckband that you fold and sew. And then I just have to weave in the ends and block it. And right. It is just in time for it to be too warm in Seattle for a sweater. No, we still have a few of those days coming up. So I just wanted to make sure to finish it before we don't have any of those days anymore. But also because I told myself I wasn't going to start anything else until this sweater was finished. Next week. Actually, the day after this comes out, we are headed down to Palm Springs on a road trip.
And oh, nice.
Palm Springs is like one of my favorite places. I feel like if I was able to teleport and just automatically go back and forth between places, it would be Palm Springs. Other places too, but it just makes me really happy. And I'm trying to find projects that are like easy and light, not only because I've just completed a sweater, but because it's going to be like 85 there. I have a lot of skeins of yarn from the Farmer's Daughter Fibers sock club that I joined. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to be making some socks. I also have an embroidery kit that I ordered from actually somebody in the app. And I am, there All goes right. me forgetting. Let's see. I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to projects because I created a project for this. I just literally have not had the chance to start it.
Yeah, see how handy that is?
Oh, Stitch Happy. Stitch Happy the person that put this together. And the embroidery is called Tattooed Shoulders. It's shoulders up and her shoulders just have embroidered flowers all over them.
And oh,
I feel
beautiful.
Like that's very fitting for me and I'm very excited to start that. I've had it for a while and just haven't dove in. So I think that's going to come with for sure.
I'm going to jump into our next topic because I really want you to make the crochet patterns from the national parks. So that has to be your next project. And they're little. You could take them to Palm Springs with you. And easily do
That's
them there.
True. I'm going to look in my stash and see what I have available for yarn and possibly do this. Because here's the thing. I've only crocheted one thing in my entire life.
I know, but you did so good.
Thank you. It is the Butts Pillow from Callie, who is the morning crafter in the Making app. And it is just a pillow that says Butts in capital letters. I did pressure her to make that for quite a while. And it is the only thing I've crocheted so far. So I do need to pick up the crochet hook again for sure. And maybe I will do that.
You could try the national parks ones. Maybe I don't know if they're easy or hard, but they're very cute.
The National Park Service, as you said, Marina, has released free crochet patterns that were created by park ranger Haley Burley. So I love that they're like a park ranger that can crochet. Let's make some free crochet patterns. So first, we've got the walleye. From the pattern, located in the lake country of northern Minnesota, Voyageurs National Park protects 218,054 acres. This includes roughly 84,000 acres of water that provides special opportunities to aspiring and experienced anglers alike. And a total of 54 fish species have been found in the park's aquatic habitats. But the walleye remains a favorite.
Who knew?
I'm definitely not a fisher person. My nephew loves to fish. They always put them back. I would love to crochet a fish.
I would too. I would crochet a fish any day, but actual fishing, I've gone once and that was one time too many. I applaud the people who do it. Just not my thing.
To each their own. So the other pattern is a halibut. And from the pattern, Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve protects over 950 square miles of ocean habitat. Over 200 species of fish call Glacier Bay home, including the iconic Pacific halibut. I love that they say iconic. I feel like iconic is like a word that's so used for like, I don't know. I would be watching like Drag Race and somebody would walk out and I'd be like, that is iconic. But also, so is the Pacific halibut.
I love it too.
Like I said, both patterns are made by a ranger. This ranger is named Haley Burley. They are listed as easy to medium in difficulty. And you can find them by visiting nps.gov and searching crochet. So easy to medium. I feel like I could do that.
Yeah, you could. I think you could.
If I did a pillow that says butts, I can crochet a Pacific halibut.
An iconic Pacific halibut.
Exactly. I've seen a lot more lately mixing crafts and like outdoor activities. So when I first joined TikTok, there is a really adorable human. You can find them cloud.nai, and they hike and crochet and they call it adventure crafts. And it just makes me really happy.
I don't know how they do that. I feel like I would trip and fall.
Specifically, they like stop at a certain point that has like a nice view and pull it out. Like, I agree with you. I wouldn't be able to do it at the same time.
Oh, I thought this person was hiking and crocheting at the same time. I was like, whoa, that's a tall order.
That is a special set of skills that I do not have.
Yeah. Okay. That may, what you're saying makes way more sense.
Please take care when you hike and do not crochet and hike.
Don't do it the way I was thinking of it. Right.
I also saw that Tom Daly took a crochet break on top of Table Mountain in South Africa. Of course, we love Tom Daly. And
yes, we do.
You can go see those photos on his Instagram. Someday he will be a part of the making of. That is a goal. I have goals of certain people that I would love to see. Not only you, dear listener, but Tom Daly as well.
Ranger Haley Burley, too, the National Park Service. Yeah.
All right, Haley Burley, let's go. So after seeing Cloud Nye on TikTok doing this, I was visiting Cascades National Park a few years ago, and I brought some knitting with me, and we stopped at the top of the hike and just looked down at the beautiful lake, and I pulled out my knitting and I did a few rows, and it was so fun and like very relaxing.
I can imagine. That's got to be therapeutic.
There's so much to be said about being in the outdoors and how, it kind of gives me the same like calming feeling and relaxation as crafting does, you know, knitting and such. I do feel like there is such a history of the National Park Service that we would be remiss not to talk about. We've been taught from a young age that our national parks are to protect and keep America beautiful, but let us not forget that everything in the U.S. is located on stolen land. I truly believe that exploring nature is healing, but that part is really important to remember. However, learning the, well, let's just call it what it is, the non-whitewashed history, we also need to take steps to ensure that we as individuals that make up a collective do not cause further harm to the land and the original stewards of it. It is the most important way to achieve true peace in nature. So one of the podcasts that came out over the last few years, I listened and I just absolutely loved it. It's called Hello Nature by REI, and it's hosted by Misha Youssef, and it is a total must listen if you are mindfully visiting our national parks or just the outdoors in general. She visits a handful of parks and uplifts voices that might not be the first thing that you hear when it typically comes to the quote-unquote outdoor community.
I love that.
Everybody, even if you're not super into hiking, it's important, you know, learn some of the history and also hear from people who are not the first thing that you think of, which I'll just say it, white people.
Right.
Yeah. So in episode 4, Misha visits Glacier National Park And we learn all about the Blackfeet tribe and their experience with NPS. So Misha talks to Tom Rogers, an enrolled Blackfeet tribal member from the Blackfeet Nation in Montana. They talk about their connection to the land that was theirs. But sadly, a group of traders with smallpox were knowingly oh, wow. sent deep into their country. And so that led to tens of thousands of the Blackfeet tribe dying, unfortunately. Yeah. And then that led to them selling 800,000 acres of land to the U.S. government for wow. $1.5 million. $1.5 wow. million. That's like a typical house in Seattle right now.
Yes.
It's wild. 800,000 acres of land.
Yeah. That's a lot of land.
So eventually, Grover Cleveland comes to, quote unquote, save the day by creating the Dawes Act, which takes the land that belongs to the native people from a land trust managed by the government and gives that land back, but to individual members of the tribe and not tribal leadership. So unfortunately, a lot of these members of the tribe were very poor at the time, and they did what they needed to do, and then they sold that land. In that situation, you do what you need to do. And it's right. unfortunate, but it's true. And that land then became what is Glacier National Park that we know today. So Misha also chats with somebody named Derek DeRozier, whose dad is Blackfeet. Derek's ethnically Blackfeet as well, but due to something called blood quantum, he's technically not enrolled as a member. And blood quantum is like a whole other thing we could dive into. We won't today because this podcast could be hours and hours if we talk right. about all of this stuff.
Yes.
But I yeah. highly encourage you to like listen to this episode and do a deep dive into it. Turn to Google to learn more, et cetera. But essentially, Derek's dad, Ed, reached out to Glacier National Park in the 90s, stating that he wanted to start a tour company to share the Blackfeet history to park goers, which, hell yeah, that's awesome. Unfortunately, yeah. they said no.
Oh,
Ed doesn't want to hear no. So Ed goes and buys a van anyways and starts giving tours of the park. The rangers do try and stop him in many ways by threatening tickets and jail, etc. There are many protests and law enforcement steps in. And Ed, the amazing entrepreneur that he is, takes it all the way to the Ninth
wow.
Circuit Court of Appeals.
Good for him.
Yes. So then, of course, the national park is like, yeah, we don't want to go to the Supreme Court. So now Derek is the manager of Sun Tours, which is a totally legal and also one of the only native tour companies operating in a national park.
Wow.
In wow. the whole country.
You want to like go and take his tour and learn all about it because
I know.
I think that there's so much more to the history of this land than we will ever know. It would be amazing to like actually learn what really happened. I like true history. And so it sounds like if you went on his tour, he could give some true history.
Yes, agreed. I wanted to talk about this because when visiting these beautiful places, it's always good to take time to search for the history and the stories of the original stewards of the land and seek out the businesses that they're currently running and just keep their stories and history alive. There is a website, and I feel like this is a very known website now and maybe wasn't a few years ago, but native-land.ca is a great place to go to search out different areas, and you can learn about the native peoples and do research based on what you find on that website. And we definitely encourage you to not just head to the park's gift shop, but search for the Indigenous people's craft outside of that, even after you leave the park. Also donate to Indigenous-led land trusts and other environmental projects that are working on land back. And always remember that we are all on stolen land.
At the very least, we should know whose land we're living on because it's not our land that we're living on. So why not know?
If you're sitting here and listening to this podcast and you're uncertain about the Indigenous people that was here before you, definitely go to that website and search it out and do some research. It's been very cool to learn about the Duwamish. Here in Seattle, the Duwamish tribe has something called Real Rent Duwamish. It's basically, you know, you pay rent and...
Yeah. Yeah.
I encourage people, you know, in the Seattle area to become a real renter. And also wherever you're at, I'm sure that many Indigenous tribes have certain things like this as well.
Yes, yes. In this day and age, information is at hand, so it should be pretty easy to find. So that sort of brings us to talking about the Secretary of the Interior who runs the National Park Service. Her name is Deb Hyland. She is also the first Native American woman to be in charge of the department. I think it's worth like taking the time to just read up on her. She is part of the Pueblo of Laguna tribe. She's from New Mexico, and she spent a lot of time in New Mexico politics before she became a senator and then became the Secretary of the Interior. But the cool thing about her story that I liked, which I find interesting, is she's still paying off her student loans. And it says that right there in her bio. I was like, wow. So, you know, she went to college and then she went and got her law degree. She is a single parent and her daughter also went to college, and both of them are still paying off their student loans. And I find that interesting because you always think of people like in those positions, they'd be like footloose and fancy free. And that is absolutely not the case. I would consider her a maker. She had her own business and it was Pueblo Salsa. She's now in charge of the Department of Interior. And in that, she's created a tribal homelands initiative so that it's an agreement with tribes that they'll be co-stewards of federal lands and water, which is the first time that that's ever happened as well. Also, the Department of Agriculture like helps with that too. But she's really working hard to try to get Native voices at high levels into what's going on with national parks and, again, being stewards of the lands and the water, which are really important. So she's also expanding that, like the National Park Service, to include more Native history. And she has been working as part of the initiative on trying to expand national historical sites to include Native history. So there was one that she just did in Colorado that is a historical site for the massacre at Sand Creek, which had never before been acknowledged, especially not on public national lands. She's working really hard to keep it from being whitewashed, as we were talking about before. Probably would love the guy, Derek, who does the Sun Tours and is the only Native tour company. So I think she's trying to maybe expand on that in her own way.
It's a long time coming.
And it's things we should know. Again, we all live on the land. How do we not? I think it's important to know that information.
So I feel like there are so many times in life where you're just going about your day and all of a sudden crafting jumps into it and it's kind of unexpected.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I thought that this could be a little segment that sometimes comes into the show when we have these moments. This week, I was sitting and knitting and watching TV. Total shocker, right? And we were watching Poker Face. Natasha Lyonne, I absolutely love. She is like my style icon.
Yeah.
The show is really interesting. She can tell when people are lying.
Oh, nice. Knows. Okay.
Yeah. So she like helps solve crimes with it. It's very, very good. But
okay.
All of a sudden she gets into her car and turns on the radio, and it is the like local radio station, and it's the Knitting Circle.
Oh, I love it.
Welcome to the Knitting Circle. It's me, Kathy J. Today, I'll be debating the merits of Diamond Honeycomb Stitch with a very special guest, my dear friend, Meryl Beauregard.
That made me laugh, and it was just an unexpected thing.
It's always fun when stuff like that pops up. That's inspired me to want to watch the show. I've been wanting to watch it, just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Oh, definitely do it.
All right. So mine is not really necessarily like unexpected, but I just thought it was nice. I always like a good winning story. They're called the Good News Movement. And so they're always trying to share good news. This guy, he's in the UK, and he was working in construction before COVID and then got laid off when there was the lockdown. And he got into making radiator covers, and his business, you know, he's built it over the last 3 years, but his business took off, and he has now made over £1 million, I think, in the last year or something like that. But I just like those stories of things like are rough or not great, and somebody like turns their kind of like crafting slash hobby slash like side gig into their full-time gig, and then, you know, make some good money out of it. And he is Liam. His work, if you go to the goodnewsnetwork.org and look it up, his work is beautiful. He does a really nice job, and it's just, I don't know, it makes you feel good.
We love a good news story. Speaking of good news, as always, we're going to be ending Making Conversation Our Studio with a moment of gratitude. So Marina, tell me what you're grateful for.
One of the things that I'm most grateful for right now is spring. But what I like about spring is that I wake up in the morning to the sound of chirping birds. And they're out there year round, but they sound like it's springtime and they're like they seem a little extra happy, but it's just like a really pleasant sound. And so I'm really just grateful that I'm waking up every morning and I get to hear sounds of birds outside my window talking to each other as well. Spring is one of my favorite times of year. So I'm just grateful for a little bit of nature every morning.
Beautiful. We have lots of cherry blossoms happening now in Seattle, and I actually have a tree in my front yard, and so I get to see it every day, and it's just such a lovely representation of what's happening right now. I am grateful for my animals. You heard Bella earlier, and Bella has been with me for a very long time. Bella is about to turn 21.
Wow. Wow.
Bella, we give her an inhaler in the morning and at night, and she hangs out.
Nice.
Wanders around the house and yells, but she's always been very vocal. So it's not anything that we're worried about, but she's got something to say, and yep, we love her for it. And also Benny, who is our youngest dog, he's about to turn 3, which is wild. We adopted him from a foster family in Texas during the pandemic. So July of 2020, we got a puppy.
Oh, wow.
And it's very cute because he gets so excited when Bella enters the room.
Aww.
And he like makes these noises. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to try to make the same noise because that would be weird. But it's so cute. And sometimes they do play together and it's absolutely adorable. Like,
so
he'll
sweet.
Run up and bow in front of her. And then she'll like bat at him, but without her claws. And then, of course, Marcello.
It.
Marcello's yeah. just my little snuggle guy, and I don't know, you know, we adopted him also from a Texas shelter, and right. every single day I just look at them all and go, how did I luck out so much? I know, Bella, I don't know if you can hear that, but she's screaming again. How did I luck out so much? I am very grateful for my animals. To join the amazing community of makers in the Making App, head to themakingapp.com to download and sign up, or head to your favorite app store and search Making. You can listen to the Making Conversation podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Of course, we'd love for you to subscribe and share with your friends. But also, did you know that you can listen to the Making Conversation podcast in the Making App? Open up the Making App and click Discover. Scroll down to podcasts and you'll see all current and past podcasts listed there. You can listen while you scroll the feed, post details in a project, search through the marketplace, or even just have it out while you're working on your favorite whip. If you've made it this far and you're interested in sponsoring Making Conversation, send us a note at hq@makingco.com and we'll be in touch. As always, thanks for listening and we'll see you in the Making App.